It's 8:50 on Morning Edition and time for our first commodity market report of this new week. And with our pre-opening summary, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Monday morning, everyone. Before we get too wrapped up in the report, just a reminder that tonight we'll be at the Douglas County Farm Bureau building in Tuscola at 7 o'clock for another one of our free agricultural outlook panels. Panelists tonight include Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Marketing, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing. That's tonight at 7 at the Douglas County Farm Bureau building in Tuscola. Cash hog prices today are called from steady to $1 per hundredweight lower, with most of the pressure seen from backed up supplies in the western corn belt due to the massive winter storm last week. Terminals are called steady to a dollar lower as well, with tops from 41 to 46.50. Peoria was called steady today, with the top price of $41. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, March 2nd, negotiated swine purchases were $15,349. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $53.50 to $65. The weighted average, $61.20, a gain of 25 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $44.14 to $53.10, and the weighted average was $49.53. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $6,135. The base price range was $53.50 to $67. The weighted average, $62.70, a loss of $1.21 from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.40 to $52.50, and the weighted average was $49.31.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather, AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. Taking a look at the weather for the Midwest Corn Belt. We have a cool and rather quiet weekend coming in, although this week we do have some snow that may occur around the Great Lakes region, a little light snow. Bottom line is it's not going to be a great week for getting field work done, but we're going to at least have a little bit of a break in the action. So in the southwestern portions of the Corn Belt, where the fields dry out enough, there may be a little bit of early season field prep going on. It's still rather wet across the eastern Corn Belt. The fields are quite saturated in Ohio and Indiana and portions of Illinois. And those are areas to the east that didn't get all the fall work done because of wet weather. So it's going to be a while before some of those fields dry out. But we are getting a break in the action this week as far as storms coming through. We may start to see more precipitation coming through once again next week. But right now we're getting a nice little break in the action. And as we look at the El Nino, La Nina situation, I didn't get to bring it up at all last week, really, because of the severe weather that we had and some other things going on. But one thing I want to note is that we are not yet certain whether a La Nina is going to set up. And even if it does, I guess the next big question is, so what? There's really not a good correlation between Midwestern weather and La Nina. What will happen this summer will be dependent on many, many factors, and that's just one of many, and there's no direct correlation. But having said that, it looks like last week there were some areas that the water temperature at least stopped dropping from the El Nino status to La Nina. Temperature, water temperatures in the eastern Pacific Ocean near the equator right now are very close to average. And that means at this moment there's no La Nina or El Nino. Neither exist at the moment. And as we go into the summer, and may be a case where the water temperature goes a bit below average. I might also add the El Nino this past winter was not that strong. Some people are now scratching their heads and say, why did we get all this snow? Why was it cold? Didn't we have an El Nino? And the answer to that is we had an El Nino, just not a strong one, and it's only strong El Ninos that correlate to our winter weather to any great degree. And going into the winter, you may recall my saying just that. It didn't look like we were going to have a strong El Nino, so therefore anything could happen. It was not going to be a case where we could absolutely say warm winter and less than average snowfall. Now, it turns out the first half of winter was warm. The second half, or even the last third, was cold. We ended up winter with temperatures not far off of average when you look at December, January, and February as a whole, just slightly above average by the slimmest of margins. And snowfall, maybe a tad below average, but not by very much either because of the big snows we got in February. So I think everybody listening here should just use a bit of caution when you hear all the El Nino and La Nina talk. Now, of course, some of this talk moves the markets, and we can't neglect that. And if the markets are moving because of La Nina talk, just consider what's happening and when the opposite may happen, or when it's figured out that that doesn't really affect the weather, and make your marketing decisions accordingly. Just because La Nina doesn't have a direct correlation on the Midwest does not mean the markets won't react. Markets are reacting to what some people say. A lot of rumors move the markets, so keep that in mind as you're making your decisions. But just keep in the back of your mind that this La Nina stuff is overplayed. So at some point, there's probably going to be a correction once reality does kick into the marketplace. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City May wheat opened at 501.5, down 2.5, last trade down 7. July, 503.75, down 3.75, last trade down 7.5. March wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 460.75, up 1.25, last trade down 4.5. May, 472, down 1.75, last trade down 9.25. July, 486, up 3/4, last trade down 9. March corn opened at 410, down 1, last trade down 8.5. May, 419.75, down 1.25, last trade down 7.75. July, 429, down 3/4, last trade down 8. December, 405.5, down 1.5, last trade down 6.75. March beans opened at 735, down 4, last trade down 8.75. May, 750.25, down 3.25, last trade down 9. July, 765, down 3.75, last trade down 9.5. Noves, 790.5, down 3/4, last trade down 9.5. March soybean meal opened at 214.90, down 70, last trade down 360. March soybean oil opened at 29.55, down 14, last trade down 31. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Any reason not to suspect that the corn and soybean picks will test 50-day moving averages? If not today, then maybe a little bit later the week to see what might be below them?
I think that we actually probably test those today myself, Dave. This thing is just, the bulls have kind of now gone into hibernation and the bears are coming out in full force. All of a sudden, with the weakness that we've seen in equity markets around the world, and overnight your Nikkei fell to its lowest level since June, dropping 3.3%. You had several others down 1-4%, and that's getting people a little bit nervous that this market might start to pull back to the reins just a little bit in what has been a wild growth market, in particular in China, and all of a sudden we may not see the demand for our products. So there are some people out there that actually think that we could actually take corn down limit move today and move right beyond those numbers. I think you probably go challenge them, and if you break them, do we all of a sudden see the spec fund, who is long 375,000 contracts, begin to liquidate more of his position and say, look, I'm not going to let this walk away from me. I'm going to make sure I put some of this in my pocket.
So where do the markets open today?
I'm going to say you're going to open very close to where we were in the overnight. We're going to be down 6 to 8 cents probably in the corn, and wheat, of course, continues to be a follower right along. Wheat's probably going to end up coming in here with the market move that's down 8 to 9 cents, and beans are probably going to be down 8 to 9 cents. I'm hearing actually 10.5 to 12 on the machine to start off with here. And then we got to find out whether the funds are willing to come in and support their position. I tend to think they won't be this morning.
Turn your attention over to the Merck. What do you expect there?
Well, the Merck is going to run a little bit on the cattle. We're starting to see with the cheaper corn prices that we're seeing a little bit of support because people think that they'll hold those on for a little bit longer time period. But you also just set some new contract highs, and if we begin to see some general concern about worldwide economies, some general concern about possibly maybe even moving back into recession, it will mean less beef and less pork being eaten. So I think you got to get a little bit nervous about those markets also. Early calls are coming in steady to a little bit easier is what I'm hearing.
Thank you much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're listening to WILA Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. The time now is 9:01 Central Time.